Hi, everybody. Welcome to the Cozy Pants. It's me, Matthew, again, and James again.
You can't stop me from wearing these pants.
I like that as sort of interstitial music of going to commercial. We're only 10 seconds in. We're going to commercial, apparently.
Let's milk them for all they're worth. They're already paying your Patreon for this.
They are. Thank you, everybody. Thank you for your support on Patreon. And in reward, you get this glamorous, glorious glop. We are going to be talking about, you know, the stuff that's making us happy and keeping us occupied these days. James, what's making us happy and keeping us occupied?
I've been milking a spider. Drinking its beverage.
What does that mean?
I've been playing a video game.
Oh, of course, yes, you've been playing.
There's no spider in it, but I have been drinking the milk of the spider.
Have you?
Yes.
There's spider milk in the game?
No.
When have you been drinking the milk of a spider?
You drink the milk of 40 spiders every time you sleep.
Literally?
Yes.
Do they? Do you?
The human.
Does the human know? Or do the spiders wait until you fall asleep?
They wait until you fall asleep.
No, they don't.
They do. They crawl down with their 8 legs and their 16 teats, and they express their milk into you. And that is why when you wake up, you have kind of a film on your teeth that you have to clean off. It's all spider milk.
No. Is that really a thing in this game?
No, this is just in life.
Oh, James.
It's not in the video game, Matthew. There's no spiders, as far as I know.
Why did you bring this up?
There are giant chickens.
Why did you bring this up?
Why did I bring up the spider milk?
Yes.
Because you said something that made me think of it.
Okay.
Milking. We were going to milk the people.
Oh, and naturally that leads to spiders.
We're milking the people for all they're worth, all 16 of their teeth.
Thank you for all your spider milk, everybody.
Thank you.
Apparently.
That's what we buy with
so, what is
money.
A real thing that you've been engaging with, James?
I've been engaging with Sekiro Shadows Die Twice. What a title, am I right?
I saw, so the subtitle of the game is Shadows Die Twice.
Yes.
I saw someone on Twitter say, this is a massive leap in the number of times that I previously thought Shadows died.
It is more than Shadows typically die. Peter Pan's shadow away from him and was bound back with soap, but kept escaping because it did not want to live a life with Peter.
Is that true?
Yeah, he put
I don't
soap
remember
on
soap.
His feet.
Really?
He would rub soap on his feet to try to bind the shadow back to it.
Why does that work?
It shouldn't, because the soap you would think would make the feet more slippery and less likely to bind with the shadow.
Why would soap on... Wait, on the bottoms of his bare feet or shoes?
This detail is unknown to me, but I do know that Peter Pan... Peter? Peter Pan? Peter? From Hook, once tried to rub soap all over his feet, his filthy, ooh, pudgy toes. Ooh, wiggling at, hi, John and Wendy. Hey, everybody.
That's the sound of his toes?
That's the
How old is he? That sounds like an old man's toe.
He is very old. He may appear youthful, Matthew.
Oh,
but
God.
But like the best anime, he is an ancient trapped in a child's body.
I was going to say like Claudia from Interview with the Vampire,
like
but that works too.
Claudia, one of our anime heroes.
Yes. Oh, man. Interview with the Vampire does feel very anime, doesn't it?
Oh, it would work in
it
that style.
Yeah, I think that would work great.
Yes, I look forward to seeing it on Netflix because Netflix can't stop. They just can't stop.
No.
Someone stop them. They can't be stopped.
No.
But the shadows, Matthew, have died more than once. They've died many times.
Is Netflix killing them?
They've already
killed video stores, so they might as well.
The radio star is next, but the giant chicken has not killed me. But it's tried.
Yeah, there's a giant chicken in this video game that you're playing.
Now, so
if this was my game, it would be a sort of a can I pet the dog scenario, because I just would want to play with the chickens.
The giant chickens will try to peck you to death. I don't know if you remember in the game Bloodborne from the same developers, there were crows that looked like piles of goo
that barked
like dogs.
Yeah. You'd just be walking by this pile of feathers and all of a sudden it would start flapping at you.
It would flap and bark. Similar is the giant chicken. The giant chicken causes quite a ruckus when it sees you.
Do they lay
eggs? Alerts. Maybe if you get them excited enough, if you milk enough spider milk into their mouths, they might lay an egg.
Because it would be like the size of a beanbag chair.
The egg?
Yeah.
Sure. But hopefully not the consistency. Otherwise, it's an unhealthy chicken.
Yeah, you don't want a situation like that.
Speaking of which, you've been getting a lot of advertisements for cow medicine, haven't you?
I have. And Joanne helped us decipher partially what's going on
partially.
Here. So I'm getting these very cryptic David Lynch ads for dairy.
Mm.
It's so weird. So the first one, there's just a picture of a mug shattering on the ground. And like, it's a photograph captured mid-shatter. It said, "I love mom."
The mug did,
on
yes.
the mug.
Okay.
And like, coffee is splashing out of it.
Mm.
And there's another one that shows an iPhone being shattered. And
a truck driving
by
a
truck,
over it.
Yeah, a big like tractor wheel. And I can't remember what the third was, but these are all captioned, "You'll never get that back."
But also with the phone, it's a call from mom. There's
yes.
a mom
oh,
theme.
There's an alternate version. There's yeah. a video version.
Yes.
There's the photo version and the video version. The call is coming from mom, and then mm-hmm. the tractor drives over it, and it says, "You'll never get that back.
You'll never get that call from mom back because you drove over it with your tractor."
Yeah. It's, I don't know who's the target demographic for this. Norman Bates, maybe? But it's disturbing, and then it says something like, "Don't let Metritis lose productivity to the sick pen."
It does say that. It does. That is pretty much what it says.
It sounds like I'm going into one of your nonsense rants, but
I've never had one.
Yeah. So with the help of Joanne, we were able to decipher that this is medication for uterine infections in dairy cows.
Okay.
So I guess under some circumstances, dairy cows have to be confined to the sick pen.
Okay.
But with this medicine called Excite or Exceed? Excite.
I think let's call it Exceed.
I guess you just give them like some shots or something maybe. And
maybe.
Joanne's theory is that the stuff is super expensive
mm-hmm.
and it comes in these shatterproof plastic bottles.
Okay.
And maybe it's the ad is a reference to how the bottles won't shatter and you don't have to worry about losing your very expensive Excite.
Which is as precious to you as a message from
mother. Your mother. Yeah.
Indeed. Well, it's also 1 degree of separation from the teat seal.
So, yes, there are also commercials for teat sealant, which I guess you use to keep, like, why does it need to be sealed as a thing? Like, let's say some milk
right.
is dribbling out. Like,
oh,
is that really a problem? Or, like, do you need to, like, actively prevent the calves from going for the...
Well, I think maybe it's just a maximizing profit thing. Because any milk that dribbles out is milk you aren't selling.
I guess.
So you want to seal the teat when you're not milking it.
But it definitely... Okay, I guess that
maybe,
makes sense.
Maybe, I don't know.
It seems like that would make the cow really prone to infections. And...
Well, then you have to get the Exceed.
Oh, you have to get the Exceed, yeah.
Yeah, so
okay.
you give the cow an infection and then you get the milk.
Jeez,
for free.
Some racket.
You're
so clearly something's going on because this is not the only dairy account that has been advertising to me.
You've been getting a lot of agricultural messaging.
Yeah, and it's not like Got Milk, Drink Some Milk ads... starring Jack Plotnick. Did
right.
you know he was in one of those Got Milk ads?
No. Was he the child who grew to be a man?
I wish. No, that was the ad in the 80s of a child who like flexes and drinks a glass of milk and suddenly his body bulges with muscle obscenely. And that commercial did something to me as a kid.
Oh my
And I'm
goodness.
Still dealing with it to this day.
Like Space Ace.
But yes. But no, in the 90s, there was a commercial for dairy starring Jack Plotnick as an alien who comes to Earth to worship cows for reasons I can't quite recall. That was at the beginning of the Got Milk campaign.
That was the beginning of his typecasting.
Yeah. And ever since then. And so anyway, I don't know what to... point people towards like a role that you would recognize Jack Plotnick from. In Gods and Monsters. He's in Gods and Monsters.
Oh.
He's the suggestible young journalist in that film who Ian McKellen convinces to take off his clothes.
Oh my goodness. And is it a thrill?
It's a sexy scenario.
My goodness. It's like Robillard from Mars who eats all kinds of candy bars.
So we are getting very far afield from what we were talking about. Oh, yes, mm. which is that I'm getting... like industrial agricultural dairy commercials and
yes.
just for dairy, not like egg laying or anything like that. Although I guess maybe that'll change now that I said it out loud.
Mm.
But yeah, there's another thing of like how to manage a dairy farm with 25 employees. And it's like interviews with all the employees. Spoiler alert, they're cows. No, yep. they're not. It's interviews with all the employees of this dairy farm. And so I'm like, what's going on? And somebody tweeted back at me that they used to be active on a forum for the punk scene in Boston.
Mm-hmm.
And there was a band called Bilge Pump.
Uh-huh.
And whenever anyone talked about Bilge Pump too much, the ads on the forum started to be about boating equipment.
Of course.
And no sooner did he tweet that at me.
Yeah.
Then I started getting ads for boating equipment.
Interesting. Well, who was tweeting cow medicine at you?
I don't know. I must have tweeted something about dairy or... I don't know about
hooves. You are lactose intolerant.
I am lactose intolerant. We're almost out of pills, so I had to have a vegan pizza this morning. James.
You need to have Exceed and seal your
teats.
Oh,
maybe that's what I need. I need
to
seal my teats.
Your man teat could use a sealant. It's sometimes a little runny.
No, it's not.
It is.
Stop it,
James. It has the unblinking eye, always open.
Oh, good gravy.
What?
This is how rumors get started.
You've got to seal the man teat.
I don't want that to be the title of this episode.
And when you apply it, you become a seal.
Well, now we're getting closer to something here. I feel like you're on to something, but...
I see.
Orc. Throw me a fish.
What?
That's what you do to a seal.
I have no seal.
Anyway...
The seal is broken.
Oh, I had a delicious pizza this morning. It was leftover from when the Queens were here yesterday.
Yes.
And it was a vegan pizza covered in nutritional yeast. And so I started looking online to see, how do you make nutritional yeast? Could I just make nutritional yeast? Because I kind of like the taste of it.
Mm-hmm.
So
you can buy it, you know.
I know, but...
Anyway, how do you make it?
So it turns out nutritional yeast, you take regular yeast and you just heat it up.
Oh.
That's it.
Really? It's just yeast?
It's just yeast that's been killed.
Oh.
Yeah, so you toast it in a pan.
So it doesn't leaven.
Yeah.
It just adds sort of a nutty crunch.
Well, and also apparently this forms whatever the acid is that gives nutritional yeast its nutty flavor. Toasting it up creates this compound that tastes nice.
No.
So that's what you do.
What is the cost benefit to buying a bunch of regular yeast and killing it versus buying pre-killed yeast?
Well, so I don't think it's great. And then that got me looking at, like, well, how do you grow yeast cultures? Is that something a person can do?
Oh, goodness.
James, you'll be happy to hear that I do not intend to undertake this endeavor.
Thank you.
Because I got to the part of the growing yeast instructions that warned you about how to recognize the signs of botulism.
Yeah.
And I was like, well... maybe not this.
Yeah, it's interesting. The things that we could just buy that you want to make happen.
What are you referring to?
Oh, I don't know. I mean, this isn't really necessarily a purchase, but the, like, let's have a bat house to encourage bats. And let's also have a bee house to encourage bees. So we're surrounded by bats and bees.
What is wrong with being encouraging, James? Because maybe I could use a little encouragement from time to time.
We have like a 20-foot balcony.
Uh-huh.
If that. And
it's certainly not. It's 10, if anything.
Really? I guess if you laid down, I don't know, how many people
James,
could you lay end-to-end?
If you and I were laid down end-to-end, I wouldn't be surprised. Oh. No, if you and I laid down end-to-end, we would be about as long as this balcony. So we're both about, you're 5'3" and I'm 6'11".
Yep, great.
And that averages out to 5-something.
I'm 4'2" with eyes of blue.
What is that?
I'd like to make love to you.
No, this isn't a real song.
Come here.
Who's 4'2"? Is this
I'll
song about like a 12-year-old?
Catch you in my butterfly net.
Oh, okay.
But you like it. There's consent involved.
Is this... What's the name of the woman who won Best Supporting Actor? I was about to say Mickey Rourke, but that's not it.
I was about to say Norman Tubbs.
Good. What's her name?
I think I was going for Albert Nobbs.
Oh, no. She is a diminutive woman. And
she won
Best Supporting Actor for, The Mountain King's Melody. Nope.
No. What's her name?
The Death of the Author.
What's her name?
It's Julepi Jam Sandwich.
Nope, not her.
Shoot. What's her name? She reads the book on tape for the Night Kitchen.
Yes.
By T.S. Eliot. Nope.
Nope.
By Tommy DePaula.
Nope.
Nope.
What's her name?
By the guy who did the interview with Terry Gross.
Bumbleardy!
Yeah, the guy who wrote Bumbleardy.
Yeah.
Richard Scarry. Nope. These are other children's authors and illustrators. Shoot, I can't put... what was his name, James?
He was a
family.
Treasure.
How could I forget?
He was a treasure, and you've forgotten him already.
And I'm not even trying to remember his name. I'm trying to remember the name of the woman who read his book on tape.
Well, maybe he'll get you there. What's her name?
Claudia Hamsand.
Not his name.
I've got sandwiches on the mind. Maybe I'm hungry.
I bet you are. All you've had is a whole pizza, and a bagel, and three things of oatmeal.
Okay, that is not true. Don't food shame me.
It's mostly true.
It's not. I had a ramekin of oatmeal, two slices of thin pizza, and that's it, I think.
You
didn't even make me tea.
You demanded no tea today.
I didn't want tea. What's her name?
What's her name?
Skelephane.
It's not Skelephane.
I think I combined Skeletor and cellophane.
Mr. Scalophane.
Shambly dumpling.
It's not shambly dumpling. Well, let me calibrate myself. Which one are you going for first?
Oh, I don't even remember. No, the woman.
Oh, okay. What's her name?
Well, I'm going to need a hint because I am not accessing that part of my memory at all now.
You just work through it.
Glavly.
It's not Glavly.
Glorb. Glorbsporp.
It's not Glorbsplorp.
No, it's...
Glorbsplorp was not the best supporting actress.
Heminaharg.
It's not Heminaharg.
I don't...
Between Heminaharg place.
Sklipe.
Sklipe. Microsoft bought Sklipe and ruined it.
No, Slurpa Sherpa. No, I think there's an S.
There is. Of okay. all the letters.
Yep.
There is no S.
There's no S?
There's no S.
There's every other letter but S?
Let's just also to recalibrate. Can you name one thing that this person appeared in other than reading Into the Night Kitchen?
Trampoline Store.
I don't think they were in Trampoline Store.
Okay. It was a war movie in Vietnam.
Yeah.
I think. She played a photographer. You're giving me such a baffled look.
Okay.
I thought this was the role that she won the Oscar for.
Maybe.
It's called, it's not The Year of Living Dangerously, is it?
Maybe. Can I see your phone? Oh my goodness. He's got all these, heating devices. You should see what a...
I'm pulling out of my pocket.
What an urchin he's dressed as. He's got, he's got scarves and hats, multiple hoodies. He has a heating device in his pocket. It's spring. Spring has sprung.
James, it's because it's a little chilly, and I was sitting out on the bee balcony. What?
Every single time I open Chrome on your phone, it's a surprise. Every time. It happened yesterday when we were playing Dungeons and Dragons. Every time I open Chrome.
It's an orator. That's a donkey centaur.
Why is it called that? I thought an orator was someone who speaks well.
No, it's not a centaur. It's no, it is. It is. I don't know why that's the name of what they're called, but it is.
Yeah, this is going to be the one. Academy Award winning actor. I just wanted to make Onatar. Sure.
Onatar. That's it.
Onatar.
Onocentaur.
Oh, my God. Oh, it's all happening. It's all coming back to me. Okay, so you did successfully remember The Year of Living Dangerously.
Oh, good.
The person has no S in their name.
Oh, no. Okay, so there's only one of them.
There's only one person.
Yes.
Yes. There were some context clues that were making me worried that you were talking about someone else. Because sometimes there's a double flip.
Yes. Okay.
Where it's like, not only was that not the person, but that's not the thing they were in.
What
is her name?
I thinking about James. I want to call her Mickey.
Don't do that because that's not her name.
Is it Sticky?
It's not Sticky Mickey.
Sticky Mickey. Is it Sharshi?
There's no S sound in her name. Even if you spell it with different
clumps.
Letters. Clumps?
No, clump. Clump.
It's not clump. But there
close.
Is an sound.
Jeez. What's a woman's name that has in it?
Well, I'm going by her full name, so don't necessarily.
Thump.
It's not Thump. However. Thump.
Yeah?
A thumpy sound.
A thumpy sound?
Is not. Totally out of the picture.
Boop.
No.
Gulp. Loop.
This is an audio medium for crying out loud. Look at you.
Mum's the word.
It's not mum's the word. That has an S sound.
Oh. Moory.
It's not moory.
I don't. I'm still thinking about cows. Maybe this is why it's advertising dairy
you've been
stuff.
Mooing
to me,
into your
mooing.
Phone.
Yeah, I just take the phone. And I just moo at it sometimes.
Moo with me.
Borsch. Nope. Bork. Bork. Bork.
It's not Bork. Bork.
Lamanda. Lamanda.
Lamanda's a good name, but it's not that.
Please welcome to the stage, Lamanda.
What was the French word for a spiky wall? that you discovered yesterday?
Oh, it's a Frida Kahlo. No, it's Pont de Fries, I think.
Hold on. It was a good name.
Bike Barricade is a Cheval de Frise.
Cheval de Frise is a great name.
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness. What a great villain name. Cheval de Frise.
You know, it kind of is.
And it means spiky wall?
Yeah.
That is very good.
Actually, I think it means hairy. Well, wait.
Great.
I thought Cheval meant hair. Or maybe it means necktie. What? James.
You don't want to confuse those things.
It's horses. I'm wrong about everything.
Okay.
Horses.
Okay. Oh, sure. Of course it is.
Chevaliers.
Yeah. That'll get you there.
Okay. Anyway, the point is...
What is the point? Cheval de Frise? Is that what it's called? Cheval de Frise?
Her name's Glemma.
It's not Glemma. But...
Yeah?
It does end in an "uh."
It ends in an Jenna?
It's not Jenna.
Bubba?
It's not Bubba.
Zorba?
It's not Zorba.
Yolanda?
It's not Yolanda.
Stinka? Nope, there's an S.
It's not Stinka.
Wanda?
No, it is a real woman's name.
It's a real woman's name. Bertha? No,
it's not Bertha.
Barca?
It's not Barca.
Barca
Lounger.
Barca Lounger. James, that's a great drag name.
It's not.
Please welcome to the stage, Barca Lounger.
It's not good.
Clive Barca Lounger.
Great, even better.
It's confusing.
It is.
Like
it's
the
a
best
horror
drag
show.
Names. Yep. James, Clive Barca Lounger.
It's not. That's more like a scary dog from a bad webcomic.
What? Why?
Because it's a pun.
Oh,
it doesn't work. Oh,
Barca Lounger.
Yeah.
Oh, Lord. Now I'm angry at you. Donna?
It's not Donna.
Edwina.
It's not Edwina.
Hammock.
It's not Hannah.
Nope,
hammock.
It's Gramba Lomba.
It's not Gramba Lomba.
Jehola.
It's not Jehola.
Hama?
Now.
Yeah. Hannah.
No, move that to the second name. That's that.
Hana.
Well, no, that's not her. It's not that, but that general sound.
Idea. Hana. Okay. Okay. Last name Hana.
Sure.
Ish. Hana Ish.
Yeah.
First name is a real woman's name.
A real woman's name.
Denise.
It ends in a.
It ends in a. Denu.
It's not Denu Hana.
Tumma.
It's not Tumma.
What? No.
Real woman's name. Not Tumma.
Nora?
It's not Nora, but that is a name.
Manoa.
It's not Manoa.
Jola.
No.
Oprah? That's a woman's name.
It's not Oprah Hanna. Although Oprah did win an Academy Award for Best Supporting Actress.
Maybe.
I think she might have.
Orla.
It's not Orla.
Lorpa.
What was that?
Lorpa?
Lorpa Hanna is now what you're working from.
What?
You're working from Lorpa Hanna.
Lana?
No, it's not Lana.
Lorpa.
Yeah.
Lorpa. What's...
Lorpa Hanna.
Laura?
No, but that is a name.
Okay, what's a woman's name that sounds like Lorpa?
Well, it has some things in common.
Dorka? Dorka. Let's name the baby Dorka.
It's not that. Although, that Dora the Explorer trailer, I think
looks
pretty good.
Oh, yeah, that looks pretty good. Okay, I feel like this is getting nowhere, James. I need more hint. Lorpa. Lorna?
Mm-hmm. No, but... You're in the ballpark.
It does start with an L.
Yes.
Okay.
And ends with an U.
Lula. Luisa.
It's not Lula. It's not Luisa.
Laura.
It's five letters.
Laura's five letters?
Yeah, but it's not Laura. We've said that before. We've established that Laura. We're ruling out Laura.
Linda. Linda Hanna. Linda Hammock. Linda Hondo. Lindanaho. Linda. Linda Humpa.
It's not Linda Humpa.
I think it is.
It's, you're not so far off now, but it's not Linda Hunter.
Linda Hunt?
Yes. Oh, I said it.
I think you said it.
I said it by accident.
You did? How did that happen?
Because I was looking at your phone and distracted by the botulism.
Well, now we know.
Now we know.
Linda Hunt. Why were you trying to talk about her?
Red, you talked about her, and she read aloud the book by...
Oh, no, you're not going to make me do this.
What's her name?
No, it's the guy who was on the Terry Gross interview. Who...
Bumbleody!
Yes, I know. He's Climby.
He's not Climby.
He's Sork... Soggy? 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 Sorky?
You're not...
Spork?
Well...
Yeah?
He's a treasure, Matthew. He gave us the gift of a little...
Oh, where the wait? Did he write "Where the Wild Things Are"?
He did do that. Yes.
Okay, "Where the Wild Things Are" by Sklimpy Tanned Shirk.
It's not that.
Oh my God! What's his name? Ah, I've got it.
What's his name?
How could I forget his name? Maximum Headroom. Nope.
Maximum is okay though to start with as a
is it?
As a first name. Yeah.
Really, Maximum?
Yep.
Okay, Marks. Manx?
It's not Manx.
Mandy?
It's no, not
that's
Mandy.
That's a real woman's name.
Well, that's also Mandy Patinkin,
Laura?
Of course. What a circus, what a sure.
Marvin?
It's not Marvin.
Wait, what did I say? Maximum. Mm-hmm. Minky.
It's not Minky.
Minky.
What's his name?
Mervilous, the Mervilous Moisterfix.
Moisterfix is where you should start from now.
Moister? Moisture?
No, moist.
Moister? Moist? Moister.
Not moister.
Oh, I like moisture.
Yep. Master of disguise.
Moisha?
It's not Moisha.
Morris?
Oh, wait, what?
Morris?
Okay, that's your new starting point.
Morris, the cat.
No, it's not the cat this time.
Morris Lesser. That'd be a good name, right?
It's fine.
Okay, that's a starting point. No, it's a Mortimer Snerd. That's a character from something.
It is.
I don't remember what, but it's from something.
It makes me think of Foreskin.
You're always thinking about Foreskin. Mm. What might have been.
You have...
Okay, wait, what did I say? Moisture?
Yes, which got you to Morris, which is a fine place to start.
Okay, it's a place to start. Morrissey.
It's not Morrissey.
Maurice Sendak!
There you have it.
Oh.
Wrote a book that was read by...
Linda Hunt.
Oh, you remembered.
I almost said Linda Evangelista.
Imagine if she had read the book.
You're beautiful. You're like a model.
Those are the only words she can say.
What is the reason for us talking about them?
A short person.
Oh, yes. That is what I was trying to say, James.
How many people can be laid end to end across the balcony?
I would say 3 Linda Hunts and 2.5 Maurice Sendaks.
All added up?
No.
Oh.
Alternately.
Alternating. Okay.
Yes. One after the other. They're taking turns.
Look at them go. And that's where you wanted to fill our tiny sanctuary
yes.
with bats and bees
with
and now botulism.
And bees and botulism. Well, yeah. And now look at what we've got. We had pigeons for a while.
We had pigeons. Too many pigeons.
We've got the blue jay that comes to visit sometimes.
Mm.
The blue jay of happiness.
Mm-hmm.
And we've got the crow of yelling at us.
The crow is... talkative. It's
the crow's
true.
Talkative. I put peanuts out from time to time, and the crow comes and it has to weigh every single peanut. It'll try every peanut before it decides which one is the heaviest and then fly away with it. And it breaks it open on the drain spout on the house across from us. So every time it rains, there's just a huge pile of peanut shells at the bottom of their drain spout.
Is that true?
Yes.
Oh, look what you've done.
They're going to have to, it's going to get clogged at some point. They're going to have to like unclog it like it's some sort of Mr. Peanut massacre happened in there.
Well, you are... known as Mr. Peanut.
Oh no, it's me, James. What if one day the crow just flies away with me?
Matthew's head
like
is shaped
Bloodborne.
Like a peanut, like the mascot character Mr. Peanut or Linus boom, the boom, peanut boom, from boom, Peanuts.
Boom, 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 boom.
He wears nothing at all but a monocle and black stockings on his arms and legs.
Mm-hmm.
He has a cane. He does a soft shoe.
I do have soft shoes.
He's got nuts inside him.
Ooh, yes.
Get that
rattle around. You
butter.
Can hear him. You did mention the Dora the Explorer trailer that came out this week. That looks fun.
It looks like a fun adventure, frolicsome, footloose, and fancy-free for those who desire a lighter take on the Indiana Jones or Romancing the Stone or Lara Croft saga. Why not see Dora the Explorer with a monkey? The monkey doesn't look good, but everything else looked good.
The monkey doesn't look great.
The monkey looks pretty bad.
The monkey, we had some confusion about the monkey yesterday.
What?
So I was watching the trailer and then I looked at the cast and I was like, oh, the monkey is danced by Abed from Community.
You did say that. The monkey is danced by Abed from Community, which is a real puzzle.
Yeah, as you can imagine, ladies and gentlemen, that caused some consternation. What I meant was the monkey is played by Danny Trejo.
Who is not Abed.
Who is not Danny Pudi.
No.
From Community.
Different Danny.
But I thought it was the same Danny.
Also, not danced necessarily.
Not danced. I was thinking about Danny's.
Oh.
And so I said the monkey's danced.
The monkey's danced by Abed from Community.
Who dances your monkey?
My monkey is dancing to its own rhythm.
Okay.
A donkey conga. It goes, boop, 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 boop. The monkey's gonna kill you.
Oh, okay.
That's what he does tomorrow.
So last week we questioned whether there had ever been a game of What's Her Name featuring men. Because generally I am thinking about the greatness of women and not mediocre men. But Joanne pointed out that the first recorded What's Her Name was a man.
That's remarkable that Joanne remembers that or was able to discern so quickly.
She said she believes it was Clive Barker.
What? Your old friend.
My old friend? Why is he my old friend?
Oh, Jesus, Matthew. The dementia of you.
Yeah?
We just mentioned your webcomic.
Oh!
Clive Barker.
Clive Barker Lounger. Yes, of course. My drag sona. Please welcome to the stage, Clive Barker Lounger. What was the thing? Oh, the Cheval de Frise was the actual good drag name.
I am Cheval de Frise.
Horses, wall horses, I guess that would be?
Goodbye, horses.
Goodbye, horses. You run right into them.
I assume it's a wall to keep horses out. It's to keep the mounted mounties away from your precious corn.
Okay. Oh, or maybe, yes, okay, because I'm just reading the Wikipedia article. They are intended as an anti-cavalry obstacle.
Yeah, so you get the
quickly.
Spikes poking out so they can't easily get to your sweet, sweet meats that you've been hiding in the barn.
I see. They're used in jungle fighting on the South Pacific Islands during World War II.
Oh, my goodness.
Isn't that neat?
It's very neat. After World War II, the army disgorged people into New York and San Francisco. They all became gay.
That is true. That's where they all came from. Ah, well, that's that mystery solved. Mm. What else have we been enjoying? We've been watching a lot of Steven Universe.
We've been rewatching the Steven Universe. What a program! It's good.
We're up to the part now. We're up to season 5, which is not available on Hulu. And so we've got to kind of cobble it together from various daily motions and things.
Oh,
I could have sworn we bought season 5 at some point, but I can't remember where or when.
We bought earlier seasons on various services when you were not able to stream it easily. And it was a nightmare because different services number the episodes differently.
Mm-hmm.
So we really didn't know what season we were in or what episode. It was a real nightmare. You know, humans have had to put up with a lot to live on this earth, and having the numbers of Steven Universe episodes slightly out of order almost brought us to our knees, Matthew's rouged knees, rouged because he wants to signal that he'll get down on them for anyone.
Yep.
Anyone in pants.
And some people not in pants.
That was how my grandmother would call someone a slut.
Oh, wait, anyone in pants is a slut?
Well, no, she would say of a lady, she'd say, oh, that one, anything in pants.
What? That is such a great way to say that.
Yes, that she'd take anything from anyone in pants.
Hmm. Well, okay. That sounds appetizing.
Mm.
We've
what
got...
lies in the pants?
You know, we were a little remiss last week, speaking
goodness.
Of Joanne. Mentioned that we needed to talk about Clue for a little bit.
Clue.
And we skimmed right past it. I will say, a marvelous cast in that film.
Marvelous cast of great performances.
Yeah, it's a real delight. I mean, obviously, the what's her name? Bernadette. Nope, it's
what's her name?
Jolie Moly.
Oh my goodness! It's not Jolie Moly.
Holaram. Madeline Kahn.
Holaram.
Yes.
Not Holaram.
Molaram.
Yeah.
Is the character from Indiana Jones and the Temple of Doom
played by?
Played by. Ving Rhames.
Oh, I was going to say nope. Bernadette Peters.
Nope, nope. It's in neither of them.
I understand.
Bernadette Peters. Nope. Madeline Kahn.
Uh-huh.
Madeline Kahn got me... I got there from Molaram.
Wow.
Yes. So now anytime I need to remember Madeline Kahn, I just need to think of someone grabbing someone's heart out
well,
of their chest.
Well, she did that to the whole nation.
She did. She's America's heart grabber.
She was tired.
Yep. Anyway, she's in Clue. She's magnificent in the flames on the side of my face business. We've also got a Christopher Walken. Nope. Christopher
no.
Lowell. Christopher Lloyd.
Imagine Christopher Lowell Christopher and Molaram.
And Molaram and Christopher Walken.
Yep.
In a walk-in freezer.
Uh-huh.
There is a walk-in freezer in that movie.
Oh, my goodness.
And who else do we have in that movie? Eileen Brennan?
Eileen Freely.
I could not name you another single movie that she has ever been in.
Invitation to Crumpets.
Oh, James, that would be such a good movie. Invitation to Crumpets. Ding dong. That's the subtitle.
Tomorrow Likes a Cookie.
Oh, James, you're making me hungry.
Crumbs to you.
Oh, God. Oh, that's the sad finale of the Crumpet trilogy.
Yes.
Anyway, Eileen Brennan and Tim Curry, of course, for heaven's sake. He's in that. And Alec Guinness? Nope. He's in... What is he in? He's in
Star
Murder
Wars.
By Death.
Oh.
Yeah, and Star Wars, I guess. And The Dirty Gentleman?
Yep, the dirtiest.
No, the lousy the lousy man.
No.
It's the lying shit-faced. What's the name of that movie?
What
James,
is it?
What's the
name
of the
name?
Movie where he's trying to, like, scam somebody? Dirty mm-hmm. Rotten Scoundrels? Nope, that's a different film.
That is a different film.
Oh, man.
What is
happened
her name?
To me today?
I don't know.
It
must be all that nutritional yeast and all the botulism.
It was a movie. Tom Hanks was in the remake.
Oh, he was, yeah.
Why do I know that? James, it's not useful information.
No, it's not.
We're not even going to talk about that because
what?
I can't do another what's her name.
You can't. Why not?
I can't. It's exhausting. James, it tires me out.
I know. It gets you all worn out, and then you have a nice little nap.
And it's got that mean guy. What's his name? The guy who sneers at everybody in Clue.
What?
The one who's supposed to be gay but isn't.
What?
I don't like him. He always plays an asshole in movies.
Oh, I know who you mean.
Yeah.
What's
that
her name?
Guy. Tindy.
It's not Tintin Tindy.
Tintin Tindy. The dog. And who else? Who else is in that film? There's other great folks.
Who else?
Is there Inspector Poirot?
Yep. As himself.
James, here's the problem is in my brain, it's starting to blur indecipherably into Murder by Death. And now I've got Nancy Walker and who else is in Murder by Death? That's another great cast.
Walker, Texas Ranger.
Walker, Texas Ranger. Oh, gosh. You know what we should mention is I've got a new video up.
Oh, my goodness. Tell everyone about your video.
I've got a new video just posted to the YouTubes about the show Rock. Remember the show Rock from the 1990s? Few people do, because it was not highly watched. I don't think I ever watched it when it was on.
Wait, is that true?
Yeah, sadly. Critically acclaimed, but did not ever do that great in the ratings.
Oh, because, yeah, I mean, I thought it was a well-received program.
It was well-received, but not by people.
Oh, okay.
So anyway, but the show did have the first same-sex commitment ceremony shown on American primetime television. For shorthand, I've been referring to that as TV's first gay marriage or gay wedding, but it's not exactly that because there were, you know, clips of gay weddings shown on the news and stuff like that. But for all intents and purposes, this was scripted television, American scripted television's first gay ceremony.
That you know of.
That we know of. There may have been something similar. We've searched and looked high and low, and I have not uncovered anything earlier than that. So that may be the first. So I've
got
a whole video about that. One of the members of the gay couple is Richard Roundtree, TV's Shaft, and cinema's Shaft, I guess. He played a gay man in a committed relationship, an interracial relationship, and they get married in the house, in the Rock House.
Oh, my goodness.
And then he comes back. He's a recurring character. He's a part of the family and just sticks around for a while, which is really unusual. Previous to that, gay characters were just very special episode one and dones. But he sticks around and has a fulfilling, lovely life.
What happens in his lovely life?
They move to Paris, like all gay people.
That's where they end up.
That's where we all end up when we die.
It's the Eiffel Tower that calls to you.
Yes, yeah. Boop, 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 boop.
Do you want to sit on it?
Yep. That's how you can tell a gay man.
Mm-hmm.
If he sat on the top of the Eiffel Tower,
They all want to climb it like King Kong and then sit right on the top.
Yep. And slide all down, the way down.
Like King Kong.
Yep. And then walk away with the Eiffel Tower inside.
That's how Carmen Sandiego stole it.
Yep. Yep. If you see her, that's how you can catch Carmen Sandiego. Just look for somebody who's walking funny.
They had you finding out all that stuff to fill out her dossier. Does she like spelunking?
Mm-hmm.
Now, just look for an ass the size of the and shape of the Eiffel Tower.
That's hot, James. That's my type.
Is Carmen Sandiego? Oh, there she is.
Hard to miss.
Yeah.
Anyway, there's a new Carmen Sandiego. We have not watched it.
Oh, we have not watched it.
It looks okay.
Sure.
But I'm not sure. Like, nobody's really talking about it, so it clearly was not the critical hit of, I don't know, what's something people are talking about? Umbrella Academy. A lot of people are talking about that one.
They are. May be that it's for children. And we are very old.
James, this is a podcast for all the parents and children of the world.
But not for the brothers or the sisters.
Or the moms or the papas. No, those are the parents.
Yes.
Everyone is somebody's child.
Are they?
Yes.
Not if I have anything to say about
it. Even when it comes to yeast, because you need a mother. You have to have the mother colony.
Oh. Whoa.
It's gross. It's gross.
Huh.
Yeah. Apparently the way you make yeast is you put in some sort of like, you suspend it in a liquid and you can tell that it's done when it falls to the bottom of the liquid.
Oh.
It's just, the whole thing seems so disgusting.
Don't make yeast, Matthew.
Oh, James.
Why do you want to make yeast?
Telling me not to makes me want to do it more.
I know. It's like the bats and the bees, but we don't need bats or bees. We don't need botulism.
Of course we need, James. Everybody needs bats and bees.
We don't need bats or bees.
James, we need bats with bees in their mouths, and when they echolocate, they shoot bees at you.
And give you botulism. Every bee's got a stinger covered.
James, this is my scheme. We're starting with very tiny microorganisms. We're starting with the yeast, and then we're going up a little bit to bees. They're a little bit bigger. Then we're going up a little bit to bats. They're a little bit bigger than that. And then we're going to have wolves.
That's a big jump.
We can have raccoons in the middle.
You had rats before.
We did have rats. They were lovely. I miss having rats.
Okay.
My little friends.
All
James.
Right. What?
Peep.
Yeah, very good.
That's what the rats say. Mm-hmm. And then we'll go rats, raccoons. Mm-hmm. Wait, bats to rats. It's not such a jump.
It's not.
Bats
really.
Are basically rats with wings.
Yes.
Then raccoons.
Mm-hmm.
Then wolves.
That is a big jump.
What's between a wolf and a raccoon?
Me.
Me, if I'm lucky. I don't know. A fossa.
What? Like a fossy neck?
We were talking about them yesterday.
A fossy neck help?
It's the apex predator of Madagascar.
No, it's not.
Yes, it's a cat.
What?
That is called lemur's bane, because it hunts lemurs, and it's real cute, but watch out for those teeth.
Okay.
It's my tip to you, listener.
Don't get chomped.
Don't get chummy with the fossa. Don't get in the way. So, and then wolves, and then I don't know what's above wolves, but whales. I'll get a whale.
Oh, no, that's another jump.
It is, James. There comes a point where you just have to get big.
Yep. Or get big or get home.
Get out of the ocean.
Yep.
There's only room enough for one of us in this ocean.
And well, it's true.
That's what I say to the whales.
I grow to the size of the ocean I'm in.
Okay. What else do we have?
We've showed me some images of Timon.
Oh, that's true. I found some sexy time pictures of Timon growing larger than the earth in someone's fantasies. And
it's very erotic.
It was. I gotta tell you, it was sexy. We've got a model land to talk about.
Tell
as
me
well
about it. Come along, come take my hand as we fly off to a model land in a bag that's full of goo. I'd like to make love to you.
It's lovely. I asked you for the model land song last week and you gave me a different song.
What was it?
I don't remember. It was a little, it was more up-tempo.
Hey there, Model Land. Get out of here. You're not welcome, Model Land. It's not for you. You haven't been chosen by
the goo.
By the goo. Yep.
So there is goo in this one. This is chapter 11, yes. Shiraz, Shiraz. It begins with a pouch filling with thick white goo.
That's how my day begins, usually. Mm-hmm.
She could breathe in it. Tookie could breathe in it as easily as a fish could breathe in water. Mm-hmm. The warm goo grew thicker and thicker until it was difficult for her to move. Then she and Dylan were frozen in place. Crack, suddenly the goo released them. Now, here's how it's described.
Yes.
Tookie and Dylan tumbled, turned around, and saw a 7-foot candle busted open down the middle. The Veiled Scout was still in front of them, flapping away now in a waxy diamond-covered bodysuit. Mm-hmm. I had no idea what had just happened.
Fair enough.
Until Dylan says, "Hey, Scout Lady, did we for real just pop out of a candle?"
Well, right. Because Tookie doesn't respond to things, last time when she popped out of a conveyor belt at a store, we didn't have a character to explain it to us. Mm. This time we have Dylan, who is not afraid to just say, "What the hell happened?
What's going on in the mind of Tyra?"
Yes. So the first time when she emerged from the roof of the car, she was wearing a thing that looked like the roof of the car. Now she emerged from the conveyor belt, which was black, and she was wearing a thing that was rubbery and black. Now she's emerged from the candle, and she is wearing something waxy and white.
Mm-hmm. This is a lot of work.
It is. So the candle's 7 feet. Now, have they shrunk? I think they shrunk, right? It's not actually a 7-foot
really?
Candle. That's how
I think it's 7. I think it's a 7-foot candle.
Oh, okay. I interpreted it as they come out small and then get big, but maybe it's just an enormous candle.
It literally says a 7-foot candle busted down the middle.
Okay, then fair enough.
So they're in a world made of candles now.
Of course. Okay, so yeah, I guess they would have 7-foot candles in Candelabra.
Yeah, that's the name of the land. Tookie murmurs in a tiny voice, Candelabra. Mm-hmm. That's the country?
Well, that they're in? We have a hard time. The political boundaries of this world are confusing. Hmm. But I will say that we've had a Crobat already, and now we have an Abra, which are two Pokemon.
Oh.
Who's that Pokemon?
I see. So they're flying over the entire town.
Yeah.
Every house had an immense candle where the chimney should have been. Now, this almost made me throw the iPad off the balcony.
Why? Don't do that.
What the hell is the point of a candle for a chimney?
It's style.
The heat comes out the top.
Uh-huh.
What is happening down below? Are people just like shoveling wax up their chimney?
I mean, that's the thing, right? Is that the wax of the candle drips down. So having a lit candle on top of your house with a shaft that goes into the house would just fill your house with disgusting wax.
What is the point of this?
Looks neat.
Anyway, thin candles illuminated every street. Mm-hmm.
It's Candelabra.
Candelabra was the world's candle manufacturing center.
Yep.
The source of waxy light for all.
Yeah.
The fuck's waxy light?
Well, I mean a candle, but the thing is, we've established that they're in like a high-tech, almost futuristic world elsewhere, so I don't know why the world needs this many candles.
Now, we've been to company towns.
Sure.
We've been to Washington, D.C.
Uh-huh.
Seat of the nation's power.
Sure.
And bike lanes. There's a lot of bike lanes in D.C.
There's a lot of bike lanes. Don't go to the theater, though. You never know what'll happen.
We've been to... Was that in D.C.?
Yeah.
Oh, why did I think it was somewhere else? Anyway, we've been to... we lived in San Francisco, which is now owned by Facebook.
It wasn't when we were there, but yeah, I know what you mean.
We live in Seattle, which used to be owned by Boeing. Mm-hmm. If it's not Boeing, I'm not going. That's the saying.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah. That's what the Boeing snobs say.
Oh, I see.
I was just hanging out with a fellow who comes from a Boeing family.
Oh, my goodness.
Like 3 or 4 generations of Boeing engineers, because the company is 100 and something years old now.
Mm.
They all worked for it until they had a gay kid, and he makes sexy clothing for drag queens.
Oh, my goodness.
So not a lot of call for that at Boeing.
Oh, well, maybe they're missing out.
His brother worked for Boeing for a little while and then left to be a game designer. So take that, family. Anyway, Dylan is excited. She says, We sell candelabra candles in aisles 385 to 401.
That's a lot of candles.
Okay, that's what I was thinking. Are we to believe there's 16 fucking aisles of candles at the store?
Yes, because it's a whole nation. It's a nation inside a store.
But, like, what if you don't live near the candle neighborhood?
You have to get an Uber.
You gotta, like, schlep across the store to just get, like, they're all in one place. Anyway, she likes to inhale the fudge-scented ones.
I bet she does.
Mm. So, let's see, what do we got? There's a man scurrying along, pushing a cart full of scrunched stubs of burnt-out candles.
Yep.
Which, again, is something I do.
Uh-huh.
I've got a lot of burnt-out candles in the closet. I do.
It's true. Matthew.
So I'm just gonna melt them down and make a new candle.
You could just get a new candle.
I could, but I could also make a candle of my own and feel good about making something.
It's not going to give us botulism, so make a new candle. It's fine.
I'm going to find a way now. I'm going to find a way. I'm going to put botulism in that candle.
Sure.
So the little girl runs up to him with nervous eyes.
Yep.
And James, do you want to say what she says or should I?
You have the thing.
She urged.
Now, that is what it says. Now, just so people don't think you're, like, making fun, please read letter by letter what that is.
It's A, capital A,
mm-hmm.
E, accent aigu.
Yep.
I with an umlaut.
Mm-hmm.
E with an umlaut.
Mm-hmm.
I accent grave. What's the name when it's an A and an E making out?
Menage a vowel?
What is that called? It's a grapheme named an ash or an ash.
Okay.
All right, so it's an ash. What's the accent mark that looks like a tent?
I don't know.
Circumflex.
There we go, great.
I circumflex.
Mm-hmm.
I umlaut. A accent aigu. U accent grave, A accent aigu, E accent aigu, I accent grave, I accent grave, I accent grave, E umlaut, U accent aigu, and so on, and so on, and so on, and so on. There's also an O in there with a line through it. I don't know what that's called. O
it just
with
keeps
a
going.
Line.
It's just vowels with accent marks strung together, no consonants.
James, that O doesn't have a name.
Oh, really?
It's called O with stroke or slashed O.
Does it not have a name in the languages that use it?
The name of this letter is the same as a sound.
Well, yeah.
It represents, though not its native name. Among English-speaking typographers, the symbol may be called a slashed O, a ligature diacritical variant of the letter O, because a separate letter is alphabetized after Z.
Okay. No, I understand how English speakers categorize it, but what sound does it make?
Representation of mid-front rounded vowels. The diphthong, blah, 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 blah. Oh, it sounds like a variation of light quality pronounced as like the EU in the French word bleu. Okay, so it's an and dark quality pronounced like in the French word boeuf.
Oh,
I see.
Huh.
Well, that's pretty neat. It's also a word in Danish that means island.
Well, it's visually onomatopoeic.
Anyway, so that's part of what she speaks. She's speaking Labrian, the official language of candelabra,
mm-hmm.
which Tuki understands perfectly.
Because Tuki understands every language, right?
Does she? Has that come up?
That's a detail that came up at the beginning and was completely forgotten about, but I think she speaks like 14 languages. I don't know how, because she spends her days lying on the floor spraying whipped cream in her mouth.
Anyway, she says the little girl who's just said that sentence is nervous about the day of discovery because her dress has not arrived. But then a petite muscular girl with thick curly hair, a face covered in freckles and full lips runs up, delivers a bundle of a dress and then runs away. First she sings a song.
Oh.
Your frock needed steam. I'm sorry, I'm tardy. Your labyrinth dream, the bell of this party. That's what she sings. And the father says, thank you, Shiraz, and gives her a coin. And then she runs away and she has some more things to deliver. And then suddenly the scout scoops her up.
Yes.
Let's see. And she says, I'm Shiraz, 7 inches and 4 feet tall. Perfect for studies at the Model Land, yes.
Mm-hmm.
And the scout grabs her, and she falls into the pouch, which bulges, and she tumbles inside, and then, snap, into the green hole once more.
I don't recall a green hole.
I think that's when they look like they're inside a plant stem.
Oh, that green hole. Okay, mm-hmm. Fair enough. Okay.
Yes, so they are now all three of them inside the sack.
Which is, I still think, part of the scout.
That's possible. Mm-hmm. Shiraz seems to be a bit of a bitch.
She's 4'7".
She says, you two, you are not the beauty exceptional like Shiraz.
Right.
Mm. The jealousies in your big body are burning like big dripless candle. I blow you out now. She puckered her lips and blew in Dylan's face.
Mm-hmm.
Is this supposed to be Russia?
I don't think so.
Or France? The name is kind of Frenchy.
It's kind of Frenchy. This one's a tough one to place. Big Boutique Nation. Or was it Boo Big Teak?
Boo Big Teak Nation.
Boo Big Teak Nation was easier to figure out than Candelabra.
An analog for what? Minnesota?
I don't know. They're very short. That is something that will come up. That's not just her. They are a short people.
The Candelabrans?
I think. Yeah, the Candelabrans. But they make enormous candles.
7-foot candle, yeah.
Yeah, they'd have to have like ladders to construct these candles.
And to light them.
I think they're short. So there's still one more nation we have to visit before going to Model Land. I think it's just one. It might be more. You never know.
Oh,
and I know that there's like a nation of midgets and a nation of albinos, and I, in my mind, I had conflated the two, but it may be that we get the midgets in Candelabra and the albinos next.
This is a lot, but it's also not a lot because it's an extremely short chapter in a book of short chapters.
It is a short chapter. They just want to introduce us to Candelabra.
Yep, and also to Shiraz. I blow you out now. Mm-hmm. It's not bad. We've all been in bad conversations. I blow you out now. Oh, man.
You are not the exceptional beauty that is Shiraz.
I blow you out now. I had a dreadful hangout this weekend.
Yes.
I was with some folks that I just met, and they decided they were going to do shots. And when I said that I didn't drink, one of them was like, well, you can have lemonade, which, fine, whatever. And then, leaned in and was like, I think it's really nice of us to include you.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I blow you out now.
I think maybe that should be the new sign-off for the podcast.
That's not bad. I blow you out now.
Speaking of which, it's maybe about that time.
Oh, is it? Okay. I mean, just shrugged.
More to say, have you?
No, that's about it. My resentment at this book, because there was a lot of nonsense in this chapter, and I don't know why.
No, get your resentment out.
I don't know. I think something I've been paying a lot of attention to for the purposes of Queens of Adventure, our other podcast, is conflict and obstacles and the antagonism that faces the protagonist. And I got very frustrated with this chapter for not having any of that. But then again, none of the others have had anything like that.
Like, nothing has happened in the whole book. I mean, things have been described, mm-hmm. but in terms of the characters taking actions and those actions having consequences, almost nothing has happened.
There's a lot of nothing. I am annoyed at this book. Anyway,
but it's painted a picture of a world with candles for
chimneys. So next up, we've got chapter 12, which is, oh dear, First Princess of Sans Color.
Sans Color.
Yeah, so I hope that's fun. Mm. Oh, good lord.
Oh, what have you discovered?
Oh, I just saw the line, I think we're inside an ear. So that's something to look forward to on the next exciting episode, on the next all-new episode. Wait, what is it? What's the line from the commercial?
Next time
on an all-new episode of Star Trek, The Next Generation. That's how the man's voice started every commercial for Star Trek. Next time on an all-new episode of Star Trek, The Next Generation. That's how it would start it. And then you'd get a clip of Data saying, I think we are inside an ear. Okay. And I think with that, it's time for us to go. I blow you out now.